The reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when Mary saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, that Holy One who is to be born of you will be called the Son of God. And indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to God forever. 11th century Egypt. A cruel ruler named Al-Hakim hated Christianity. Thinking to obliterate the Orthodox Christian religion from his kingdom, Al-Hakim ordered all churches closed for 9 years. 9 years. Now, one random Sunday morning, about 3 years into his edict, Al-Hakim was being escorted by his royal entourage through a Christian section of the city. And would you believe, coming from house after house after house was a continual flow of liturgical singing and praying, and with a joy unprecedented in that country. Al-Hakim was stunned. His plan to suffocate Christianity was failing. The faith had simply been brought indoors. And not only was the faith not dying, it was flourishing indoors. So Al-Hakim said, "Reopen their churches. I now see that when I close their churches, a new church was opened in every home." What a powerful image. A new church was opened in every home. Now, interestingly, these home churches were hidden away from Al-Hakim for 3 years, and yet their power never faded, even in a hidden state. Now, we come today in our church to the great feast of Annunciation. When the fullness of time had come, God sent Archangel Gabriel to a virgin named Mary with the amazing news that the Son of God would be born of her. Mary, of course, accepts God's offer. "Let it be. Let it be to me according to your word." And the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon her, and she conceives in her womb God incarnate. This is the moment God takes flesh. This is the moment the Son of God becomes a tiny physical human being in the womb of Mary. You know, as the Tropar of the day teaches, the Son of God becomes the Son of the Virgin as Gabriel announces. This is the day of the Incarnation. Now, interestingly, most of us, when we think of celebrating the incarnation of the Son of God, right, we think of Christmas. We think of the Nativity. The Nativity, the birth of Christ, gets all the hoopla and all the fanfare of the incarnation of the Son of God. And not that that's bad, But the truth of the matter is, the Son of God was already incarnate in the womb of Mary for 9 months by the time we get to Christmas. The incarnation doesn't happen when Jesus is born, but when he is conceived. Who is the baby in Mary's womb all those months? The baby in Mary's womb is already the Son of God in human flesh. But this truth seems hidden away. Even in the church, this feast is tucked away in Lent, like a child hidden in its mother's womb. But what this reveals to us is that simply because something is hidden doesn't mean it has no power. When Al-Hakim drove Christians from churches, the hidden churches in every home had more power than he could have possibly anticipated. One might argue that the power of faith increased when driven indoors, increased when the church buildings were taken away from them, increased when the Christians had to find the church in their homes and in their hearts. When driven into the quietness of one's own home and one's own heart, the power of faith can flourish. And those 11th century Egyptian Christians somehow managed to do it without technology, without photographs, without live streaming, just the icons, their faith, and God speaking quietly in their hearts. And likewise, the Son of God, hidden in Mary's womb, physically grew stronger in secret those 9 months, awaiting the proper time to be revealed at his birth to the world. And as we this day are hidden away in our homes, I see in this time many wonderful things happening. Families given the opportunity to reconnect. Neighbors singing to one another from one balcony to another across courtyards or residential streets. Neighbors running errands for each other. The list goes on and on and on the way people are pulling together. And people are finding prayers for each other. People are praying together that have never prayed together before. And people are turning to the center of God in their own heart. And all that goodness that has been hidden inside just a bit too long and now forced indoors is starting to flourish. As this feast of Annunciation comes to us, and as we look into the quietness of our hearts and homes, maybe, like those 11th century Egyptian Christians, we will find a hidden church of faith, prayer, and song in our heart and in our home. Amen.